We're going to turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 12. I want to read just the first two verses. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I didn't like school. In fact, I would say that I hated school. I remember very clearly the last day that I had to go to school compulsory. It was the 28th of May, Friday, in 1976. And I can remember that day so vividly, waiting for that final bell to ring. And when that final bell rang at 3:10 on that Friday afternoon, I got out to the school, I got through the gates and away from the school as fast as I ever could. That's how much I disliked it. All I ever wanted to do was to get by enough to be able to get a job and to work. But I did have some favourite lessons, or one anyway, and I loved metalwork. And so if it was my day for metalwork lessons, I was enthusiastic. I loved being in there doing the welding and everything else that was going on. I quite liked art and geography. I disliked maths. I disliked history. And I disliked English. But then there is one subject that I absolutely hated, and it was PE, physical education. And to this day, at 61 years of age, I have never played in a proper game of football, or a proper game of cricket, or a proper game of rugby. That's how much I hated sport and PE when I was growing up. And I didn't mind cricket so long as I could be as further away as I could in the fielding, away from all the action. And the only enjoyable part of PE, if I could use the word enjoyable, was when it was cross country. Not because I could run well, but because it meant that we could get out to the school grounds. And I had no chance of ever winning, no chance of getting in the top three, or the top 10, and probably no chance of getting in the top 20. So what was the point of running? So as soon as we were out of the school site, I would take my time, I'd run a little, I'd have a brisk walk, and should I have any pennies on me, then I would make a quick, sneaky stop at the shop and get some sweets. And more often than not, it was Bazooka Joe bubblegum, and the wrapper had a little comic strip wrapped around it as well. The strange thing is that my two pet hates today is bubblegum and chewing gum. Can't stand the stuff. But that's what I used to buy. In other words, any distraction, it didn't matter what it was, never bothered me, as I had no intention of running fast, and the finishing line was never my aim. In our text today, we are reminded that we are in a race. It's not a competitive race in which we are trying to outdo each other or jostle against each other to be the first to get to the winning line, but it's a race in which we can all be winners simply by getting to the finishing line by virtue of our being determined to persevere to get to the end. And each one of us that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, we are in the race. And we should aim to finish the race in the same way in which we started. And that is by keeping our eyes firmly fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. For to start the race, we fixed our eyes upon Jesus as he hung on the cross as our Saviour. And we continue the race by fixing our eyes upon Jesus as our great high priest, who is interceding for us. We could say he's cheering us on in the race. And as a result of getting to the finishing line, we will finish the race by being with Jesus as our eternal King. But in the context of the illustration that I've given about myself and the cross-country race, in comparison, how are you doing in this race which you commenced on the day of your new birth? See, I was happy to be distracted. I was happy not to finish. I was happy simply because I was not in the school. My motives were wrong, my attitude was wrong, and I didn't even deserve to get anywhere near the finishing line of the race. And in our text today, which I've read from those verses there, Hebrews 12, we are given some advice to follow. And I'm going to change the order around, and these are the 4 points that I want us to look at. First of all, look at the crowd of witnesses and learn from them. Secondly, run with endurance. Thirdly, get rid of the baggage. And then fourthly, keep focused upon Jesus. So first of all, look at the crowd of witnesses and learn from them. My text, those verses there, they come immediately after the writer to the Hebrews has given a catalogue of men and women who we today call the heroes of faith. These are men and women who had already run the race in a different way to which we are running, for they did it all by faith in that which was unseen and yet to be. They believed God, and it was counted to them as righteousness. For them, they didn't have a cross to look to give them their initial start. They didn't even have the privilege of a great high priest interceding for them. In fact, the chapter goes on to say towards the end that they didn't even get what was promised. They are still waiting, and they will have to continue to wait till our race is over. Hebrews 11, 39 to 40. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And a quick glance through this chapter, Hebrews 11, tells us of all the possible distractions and hindrances that they faced, and yet they persevered, knowing the end result was worth it. They refused what the world had to offer because they were going to receive something far better, something that would be eternal rather than temporal. We see something especially concerning the life of Moses in verses 24 to 26. It says there, by faith Moses, when he was growing up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Now, there's a whole message in just that, those verses really. When we considered that Moses could have had everything that this world had to offer, but he chose instead to take the reproach that was given to the children of Israel. And he chose the better thing. See, they were even willing, if you look through that chapter, they were even willing to bear awful consequences because the eternal consequences were of more value to them than life itself. Again, verses 35b to 38. Some were torture, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Imagine that. Those things that I've mentioned, that they were willing to suffer because of what they believed. That list, as I've read it, should make us realize how comfortable we are today. Surely, how comfortable we are today. Perhaps we have become too comfortable in our Christian faith. But they all persevered. They all ran their race. They all finished the course, knowing that eventually, with us who continue and persevere in our race, they would receive their eternal reward. And the Hebrew writer wants us to be encouraged by their example. He wants us to learn from their example. He wants us to be spurred on by their example. He wants us to realize that opposition in the race of faith is nothing new. They faced it, and we will face it. But it is only those who finish, who get to the end, will be rewarded. And when we get to chapter 12, he reminds us that the Old Testament heroes have become a great cloud of witnesses. And just imagine this morning that our race is taking place in an Olympic stadium. And we are running hard. And in the background, sitting in the stadium seats without any social distancing, are the Old Testament heroes. And they are cheering us on. They're cheering you on, and they're cheering me on. And as we read their individual examples in Hebrews chapter 11, it's as if they are shouting out to us, come on, you can do it, because we did it. And let's take their example and follow it. It is good to go back into the Old Testament and to read these various examples and to remind ourselves today that when someone sneers at us for our Christian faith, some of them had stones thrown at them or swords pierced through them. Or when we have to face someone laughing at us or mocking us because of our Christian faith, remember that some of them had to face lions. And when someone decides to turn up the heat and try to make us squirm over something that we believe because we're a Christian today, remember that some of them had the heat of the furnace turned up and they were thrown into it. And in some parts of the world today, many of our brothers and sisters are undergoing fiery trials for the cause of the gospel. But they persevere, standing firm in their faith. And if the Old Testament saints can persevere, if those who are undergoing fiery trials today can persevere, then so can we. May God help us to learn from the great cloud of witnesses. But then we've got to run with endurance. Today we hear a lot about endurance racing. And I remember a very famous race taking place back in the late 1960s, 1968, and it was called an endurance race, but it was for cars. And it was called the London to Sydney Marathon. And it was won by a Hillman Hunter, car Hillman Hunter. I've actually got a Corgi model of it. And I actually saw the car and met the drivers from that car, because at the same time, our family car was a Hillman Hunter. And so we were invited to the local showroom when they were doing a tour of the country to see the car and to meet the drivers. And this London to Sydney Marathon was all about driving through the continents of the world in extreme conditions. And only the sturdy and the best completed this endurance race. I have friends today who enter into endurance races, and it requires fitness. It requires determination. And when it comes to the race that we are running, the race of the Christian faith, it requires fitness. It requires determination. And we need to ensure that we remain spiritually fit so that we will have the ability to endure to the end. Before I began to prepare this message, there were two words that kept coming to my mind. And these are the words, duty and delight. Duty and delight. And I was not sure how I was going to fit it in with what I am sharing today until I was making plans for the way that I was going to proceed with the different thoughts that I'm bringing today. See, when I was involved in the cross country at school, it was my duty, but it wasn't my delight. I had to do it, but I didn't want to do it. I did it to keep the teacher happy. And secondly, I did it because I didn't want a letter sent home or a phone call to be made to my parents saying that I was refusing yet again to take part in a lesson. And when it comes to running this race, if we have made the decision to surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a duty to run it. We have a duty to run it. But I want to say it should also be a delight. It's our duty, but it should also be our delight. And I want to say that if we are finding that keeping spiritually fit is only a duty and not a delight, such as reading the word, prayer, and fellowship, then we need to stop and examine the genuineness of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a duty and a delight. And if the delight is missing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to examine it. You need to come back to the cross. You need to come to that place again where you recognize what this is really all about. Surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a couple of verses that appear earlier in this epistle in chapter 10, and they read this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And in this context, we need to ask concerning our come together for fellowship, whether we do it just out of duty. Oh, I'm a Christian, so I should go to church. Or is it out of delight as well? In other words, we don't just turn up here on a Sunday morning because we feel we have to out of duty, but because we want to be here. It's a delight to be here. It's a bit delight to be meeting with our brothers and sisters and to be in fellowship with them. And if you're struggling with our desire for spiritual matters, if we're struggling for the intake of spiritual food and the joy of fellowship, then we're going to struggle in the race. It's as clear as that. We're going to struggle in the race. We will face hurdles and not be able to get over them. Our endurance levels will not be sufficient to get to the end. And yes, we may get a little weary at times, then at those moments we stop. And we wait on the Lord, and he will renew our strength. We read his word, we have a prayer, we look for fellowship, and it feeds us, it enhances us, and it strengthens us spiritually to get moving again, to continue towards the finishing line. Going back to the London-Sydney Marathon, it was the cars and the drivers who were facing the endurance race. But the three-man team driving the car were not alone. They had a support team tagging along. And as they progressed, they would have checkpoints. They would have service points where any repairs and enhancements were made to enable them to make the next leg of the journey. And we need these checkpoints. We need these service areas where we are together as a bigger team to give the support and encouragement that each one of us need to help us to continue the race with endurance. And as we've gone these last 2 months without meeting together, I trust that we've missed it. Because when we're together like this, we draw something, don't we? We receive something, not only from the Lord, but we receive something from one another that enables us to take the next leg in the race that we're running. Thirdly, we need to get rid of the baggage. In my case, in the cross country, I didn't care about the baggage. In fact, when you stop to think about it, to buy and eat sweets while doing a cross country race is a bit of an oxymoron. For to get to the end required a fit body, not a body that was filled with rubbish. And we, in our race, we need to get rid of the rubbish. As the King James Version says, we need to get rid of the sin that so easily besets us. Or as in my English Standard Version, we need to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. It brings an imaginary image to my mind. I think of someone like Mo Farah. He's at the starting line, about to run the London Marathon. As I look at him, it's an imagination now, okay? As I look at him, I see that he's got a rucksack on his back containing his clothes to change into at the end of the race. And in both hands, he's carrying a plastic bag. In the one, he's got his sandwiches, and in the other one, he's got a flask of coffee. And the starting pistol goes off, and away they go. And there is poor old Mo, the favourite to finish the race, lagging behind. The rucksack is aggravating his back and the plastic bags keep knocking his legs. He will probably finish, but not first. And other than the clowns who decide to run it in fancy dress, he will be near the end of the race. And something needs to be done. And so he chucks the plastic bags down on the side of the road. Then he manages to grapple with the rucksack on his back. And he pulls it off and he chucks that to the side. The things that were besetting him, the weights that were dragging him back, they are gone. And he picks up the pace and one by one, he picks off the competition as he edges nearer and nearer towards the front. Now, as I've said, that is only my imagination. But using that imagination, sadly for so many in the race that has been set before us, there are those who have chosen to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, and yet what I've suggested about Mo, for them it is a sad reality. Many seem to want to run the race carrying their baggage with them. They want to run the race and to continue running the race with so many aspects of their own sinful nature that is constantly dragging them down and hindering them in the race. Things that they should have discarded at the cross, sinful habits, sinful activity, they keep it and they carry it with them. But the writer to the book of Hebrews says, get rid of it, lay it aside so that you could run the race to the end. But it's not only possible to keep the baggage with us when we start, it's also possible to start the race well and pick up baggage on the way. A bit like me stopping during the cross-country race and popping quickly into the shop to get something. And some Christians, they lose their way a little bit and they pick up on things that are only ever going to be a hindrance to their Christian race. Rather than walking with the Spirit, or in our context, running with the Spirit, they want some of the flesh to tag on as well. And if we are like that today, then listen to this, we need to lay it off. We need to get rid of it. We need to throw it away. We need to discard it so that nothing will prevent us from getting to the finishing line. Then fourthly, we need to keep focused on Jesus. You remember, may remember that I ended my message 2 weeks ago on the video with these verses, which are our text today, reminding us that Jesus is both the author and the finisher of our faith. We start with Jesus and we finish with Jesus. So from start to finish, he should be our focus. He should be the one and only one that we have set or fixed our eyes upon. I don't know if anybody remembers the words of a song that went like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I want to suggest this morning that the more that we focus upon Jesus and the more we delight in his glory and in his grace, the more eager and determined and willing we will be to get rid of the rubbish, to fix our eyes upon him and to win the race. There's some amazing promises in scripture concerning our walk with God and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and just going to mention two of them. In the book of Philippians chapter 1, we have verse 6, it says this, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 2 and verse 13 we read, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, if taken at face value, and you read those verses, we would assume that we would not need to be too worried about the race. For God will make sure that we get to the end. For he is working out his good work in us. But I want to say this morning, as we compare it along with some of the other verses that also came from the pen of Paul, we will discover what he says in Timothy. He says that to Timothy, but as for you, O man of God, flee these things. In other words, get rid of these things. Throw them away, discard them, and instead pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In other words, we need to compare scripture with scripture and see what together they say. And this is the conclusion. As God is working in us, we also need to be working out or working at our salvation to make sure that we finish the race. God plays his part, but we have to play our part as well. And I want to close this morning with some more verses from Timothy. And they're found there in 2 Timothy 2, 1 to 13, but because of time, I'm just going to read verses 4 to 6 and 11. It says that no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he completes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And then verse 11 on, the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We need to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus. Firmly fixed upon Jesus. We need to lay hold of that which we have believed and grasp firmly to him. Let's be determined to run the race and to finish the race, not out of duty alone, but out of delight. For it is only those who finish the race will get the reward. And I can assure you that the reward is out of this world. Worth running for, isn't it? Worth racing for. So let's be encouraged by the word of God, challenged by the word of God. to make sure, especially with the younger generation, to make sure that we're not getting entangled in things of this world, which will be like a snare around a rabbit's neck and will stop us from running forward and finish in the race. God bless you.